Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am going, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This text, a common choice for funerals, comes from part of the Gospel of John known by scholars as the Farewell Discourse. In John's Gospel, on the night before his death, Jesus spends a lot of time trying to get in some last-minute wisdom to the disciples sitting around the table with him. And these verses happen toward the beginning of the Farewell Discourse, when Jesus tells them that he will be leaving. Well, understandably, the disciples are troubled at his announcement of departure. "Where are you going?" they ask. "Why can't I follow you?" Jesus sees their anxiety, their distress, and he responds to them. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." He tells them that he's going ahead to prepare a place for them, and that there will be room enough for all at the appointed time. "And you know the way to the place where I'm going," he assures them. And Thomas, I love Thomas, who in a week's time will receive a moniker that will stick to him like glue for thousands of years to come, again is the one asking the question. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how is it that we can know the way?" To which Jesus responds with one of his most famous "I am" statements. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus tells Thomas and the others seated around that table that if we know Jesus, then we know God, and that Jesus is the one who leads us, who will lead us to the Father. I'd like to point out that this "I am" statement, while I love it, is a little bit troubling sometimes, because it has often been used as a way to draw lines around who is in and who is out when it comes to things like heaven and faith and Christianity in general. People seem to hear it in such a way that it's up to us to decide we know Jesus, after which point our ticket is reserved and we can just follow the yellow brick road all the way to Oz, or perhaps heaven in this case. But Jesus says, "I am." That is him, not us. But then we as humans are so inclined to do, well, we like to make it about us. So instead of being a pathway to God, this statement becomes more of a gate, a roadblock, or a hurdle one must jump before being able to continue forward. And as I hope that you can guess, I find this not only troubling, but disappointing, even distressing. Because it seems to me that in order to read this statement, in order to hear it as Jesus intended, then we have to keep Jesus the subject of the state of the sentence. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Not me, not you, not our decisions. In fact, when he said this, Jesus was hours away from destroying the greatest roadblock there was for us, death. Jesus surrendered his own life in order to show that death was the beginning of new life with God. That was the way. That is the truth. That is life. Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus has already done what was necessary in order for us to follow the way. It is not, nor has it ever been, my decision. In Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul highlights further that our decisions are not the only thing that cannot keep us from God. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He asks, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or even sword? No, he says. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, if you feel like breaking out into song here, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know about you, but I am hard-pressed to think of something that the world tells me is evidence of God's absence, something that proves that Jesus' well of grace has run dry, that Paul's litany of woes doesn't cover. Can you think of one thing that Paul's list has missed? Because all of the things that people like to attribute to an angry or an absent God, wars, pestilence, presidents, dictators, disasters, tragedies. Paul accounts for these things. And still, Paul writes with bold determination that no matter what the evidence suggests, none of these things can separate us from the love of God. So having determined then that I cannot, by my own decision, accept Jesus in order to secure my path to the way, and nor can I believe that trials or tribulations or whatever mess I see on the nightly news is evidence that God has given up on us. Well, what does that mean? It means that God, in the form of Jesus, is relentlessly and persistently and passionately loving you. And that is true for each and every one of you sitting here. And it is true for each and every one who is not sitting here. For those who never go to church, and even for those who wear their brokenness a little more openly or obviously than some others, God loves all of us. Even the person who comes to mind when you think of that person who has surely gone just too far, lived too far outside of the limits, who has caused too much pain. For I believe that even when I cannot understand it, God still loves everyone. Now that is true for those who have gone before us, for those whom we remember very specifically today, and for those who are yet to come. Because in the most simple and beautiful way that anyone could say it, God is love. So then, my friends, if we believe this bold assertion that God is love and that God loves everyone, then after you take enough time to soak up that truth, just enough time till your fingers get a little bit wrinkly, well, then we have something to do. Because we cannot, if we have any hearts within us ourselves, not have a deep and desperate need to share this incredible gift, this beautiful thing, with the world. So we must then go out into the world, and instead of pointing to the people, as has so often been done, to see if they are worthy of jumping the hurdles, instead of that, we must go out into the world and point to Jesus. To tell them that Jesus is the way, that the hurdles have been cleared, so now there is nothing between us, between them and God, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. So it is our call, our duty, and our joy to share the good news of God's love to all people. And the best way to do this is to go beyond words. Not that words don't count. I'm not taking back what I said a couple of weeks ago for those of you who were here. I still hope that you are trying to say the word, to say Jesus' name on a daily basis. But for this purpose, we need to not just say it, but to do it, to be it. If we believe God loves, then we need to live in such a way that we demonstrate that love as well. We need to show love to our neighbors of other faiths, to our LGBTQIA2+ neighbors. I'm trying very hard to get that right. To our Indigenous neighbors, our homeless neighbors, and so on. The list goes on and on. We need to show gracious, uninhibited, non-judgmental love to all of our neighbors. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way that has been opened to all, opened wide enough that we can be convinced that nothing in the world will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That, my friends, is the gospel that we need to hear today. Indeed, it is the good news every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.